And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dueling Reviews. I am Stephen Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson. We are here to review some comic books. You're not quite a Pez dispenser. You're more like a...
You're a comic book.
A Frogo. What? No. Yeah. Froyo.
Frogo?
You're a Froyo. You're a Froyo
you
dispenser.
Just make words up, don't you?
You're like a Froyo dispenser. A big, cuddly Froyo dispenser.
What the hell does that even mean?
Well, you said you're a Pez dispenser. What does that mean?
Right?
What does that mean?
A Pez dispenser has a human head.
Yes. You could have a human head.
Froyo is...
You could have a human head that dispenses Froyo.
I'm not speaking to you.
Good. Then I'm going to talk about
the show.
Then I am going to talk about this week, Marvel Comics Ultimate Spider-Man number 200. Go figure this math out yourself. The last Ultimate Spider-Man comic was 133.
Right.
That was like 2 years ago.
And then there was 15 issues of Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
And then don't forget Spider-Men.
Well, I don't think they count Spider-Men.
Oh, they're not counting that one?
I don't think so. I think they did 133 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Then they switched to Ultimate Comics dot Spider-Man had the real manga art.
Yeah.
Then they killed Peter Parker.
Right.
And then Peter Parker died, and Miles Morales came back in his book as Spider Ultimate Man comic. And then for a while it was Ultimate Man Comic Spider. And now they've renumbered it to 200.
Well, they might as well. I mean, it's an ending point for the true Ultimate Spider-Man series. And in this, we're going to Peter Parker's house 2 years after his death. So the whole Ultimates cataclysm, a cataclysm is over. Now we're into Ultimatum and the World Hunger Eater Galactus.
Galacticus is over.
Galacticus, whatever that was all about. Yeah. And now they're having a get together for Peter Parker and everybody's invited. Yes. And so Miles and what's his name? Gonky. Are headed off to the party. Gonky. They're off to the party, and of course, everyone shows up. Mary Jane shows up. Jessica Drew shows up with, I don't know who the girl is that she's with. Oh, Lana from high school.
Right.
Firestar and Iceman show up, as does Firestorm.
Firestar.
Star, that's right.
Right. Liz Allen is Firestar. Yeah. Mary Jane.
Gwen Stacy's already living at the house.
Isn't Gwen Stacy Carnage?
She was at one point. She was at one point Carnage.
Right. And then
Kong from high school shows up, as does Kitty Pryde.
Right.
And Kitty Pryde and Kong used to have a thing going on. Apparently they're going to reconcile. Of course, Aunt May is there. Tony Stark can't show up, but he does have C.B. Sobolski step in as the chef. A world famous chef in the Ultimate Universe to provide food for everybody. Now,
say that I hate that
C.B. Sobolski makes an appearance or doesn't make an appearance, but his name does.
I hate the fact that they named him Chester Sobolski after C.B. Sobolski. The same way I hate the fact that every time you see the Kingpin on the cover of a David Mack issue of Daredevil, it is Brian Bendis's face.
Yeah. Why do you hate that?
I dislike that cult of personality around the creators, the in-jokes and the thing about...
Well, that's kind of like my argument last week with Real Heroes, right? About how too many real-world references kept yanking me out of it. And I just vaguely remember Sobolski on his Twitter feed saying, hey, I get up here as a chef in upcoming Ultimate Spider-Man. And, of course, CB is one of these people. You love him or you hate him, but he is a foodie. And he is always talking about okay. all the food. I know you can say it's not a word as, or it's a word or
as,
whatever.
As a but fellow he's a fat bastard, he's a fat guy just like me.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. But that is one of the real irritating parts of this for me is the whole thing where they take three whole panels for an in-joke about C.B. Cebulski.
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, you yeah. know. Yeah. At least they – well, I was going to say something bad, but I won't. So then the one that I – the here's the one that really kind of got to me because I loved Peter Parker Ultimate Spider-Man. I really loved mm-hmm. that run. It was a great run. Everything up to Cataclysm was awesome. Followed it afterwards up through the aftermath of whatever that was, Cataclysm, aftermath of Cataclysm. Ultimatum, right? Leading up to Ultimatum, whatever the part. Leading up to Ultimatum, Peter Parker's death.
Ultimatum was separate from Cataclysm.
Which
Ultimatum
one?
Was where Magneto flooded okay. the Earth.
So up until Ultimatum, everything was really great. And then, you know, they relaunched, and then they've got Peter Parker gets killed, and we introduce Miles Morales. That's essentially where I checked out. But there right. was one great part.
Destroyed most of the world.
There was one great part in Ultimatum that I really, really liked, and that is the part where the Daily Bugle is flooded. And there's water all around, and J. Jonah Jameson, who's hated Spider-Man, always hated Spider-Man, sees that Spider-Man is really Peter Parker, and sees that Spider-Man is doing his best to save everybody. And at that moment, when he has saved himself, has this realization about what kind of ass have I been, you know, crapping all over this kid for years who's just trying to do the right thing. And so he has a whole change of heart in the Ultimate Universe where he's all pro Spider-Man for a while
mm-hmm.
Until Miles shows up and then he gets all pissed off again. But I feel kind of bad because
I think the chameleon took over his brain
that's
for
right.
a while, too.
But I feel kind of bad for J. Jonah Jameson because he pulls up to the house and probably wants to go in, but then has second thoughts and just leaves. And I kind of feel bad for J.J.
I can definitely see that. I wasn't sure about what had happened with Jameson to where he was acting so weirdly. I don't know if he thought they would reject him or, you know, when I initially read through it, it seemed like he changed his mind and thought better of going. But,
well,
you know,
I mean, there's, it could be a couple of ways. He could say, well, you know, it's not my duty as a reporter to go and attend one of these things, right? As an editor for the, right. for the Daily Bugle. The other part is right. You know, who am I to go when everyone, you know, the purpose of this get together is so everyone can remember Peter Parker and all the good times with Peter Parker and not to mourn his loss. And really the good times with Peter Parker were the times where J. Jonah Jameson was the absolute dickiest to Spider-Man. And so he could be looking at it from that way as like, I don't even belong here. This is not me to go in and celebrate Peter Parker or to celebrate Spider-Man because I hated them.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, you could go with three panels or a page and a half or whatever of Chef Cebulski. But I thought that's yeah. five panels, what, one, two, three, four, five, six panels of mm-hmm. J. Jonah having a crisis. I thought were the best part of the whole book.
I can definitely see that. I think the biggest part of the issue for me, the thing that I liked and also hated,
mm-hmm.
was that we brought all these characters together. Now, granted, you know, I have not read all the previous issues.
Right.
I have not read all of the Ultimate Spider-Man, but there are things in here where I'm just like, okay, what is that a reference to? Who's this young girl with Jessica? Isn't Jessica a clone of Peter? Why yes. does she look to be 35?
Yeah, well, that could just be, you know, art style. But yeah, Jessica is an exact clone of Peter.
I will say one thing cracked me up. Firestar and the Human Torch are flying along with Iceman,
right.
and they're having a conversation, right. and Iceman's just like, hang on! And
yeah, he's
Iceman
like,
he slide like, melts too much, and he falls out.
Too much heat on both sides of me. Hold on. Wow, boom. I'm okay.
And you see, I'm okay! I really did like that. That kind of thing really worked for me. Then we get into the point of the story, which is everyone sharing their, you know, their thoughts and their things. And Genki gets a huge Gwen Stacy kiss, which
yeah,
I
because we
nice.
Don't. He gave her something made of Lego, and we don't even know what it was.
We don't know what it is.
We might
Gwen
find
Stacy
out.
Looks like Sam from iCarly throughout this issue.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like really looks like Sam from iCarly.
Interesting.
But then we get to the point where each person is talking about Peter, and we get different artists' renditions of Peter as maybe a future superhero.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they start talking about. Well, you know, we always thought what would happen if Peter Parker grew up, and then you've got I forget who goes first. Maybe it's Gwen
Bagley.
Oh yeah, jumps up and says, "Oh well, I envision him being leading the Ultimates," and we get to see essentially Iron Spider or whatever that was, the Tony Stark Spider-Man costume. That was designed over in the Civil War universe. And so that's pretty
Mary
cool.
Jane's oh, fantasy, that's yeah.
Mary Jane's fantasy. Then we get to mm-hmm. see Aunt May, and she gets to see basically Spider Wars, every other Spider-Man that's ever been developed.
Spider-Man
which is cool.
changing the world with his awesome.
Yes, with his army power. Of Spider-Mans.
Spider-Mans. You notice he looks a little bit like Superior Spider-Man's costume mm-hmm, in that mm-hmm. sequence, which I
yeah.
thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely interesting. Then we get to see Gwen Stacy, and it's more the dark and gritty Spider-Man that everybody knows, the street-level Spider-Man, dealing with yeah. Moon Knight and the Punisher and Daredevil and Doctor Strange and the Kingpin.
I really liked the art.
What was that hardline series that Marvel put out with Moon Knight and Punisher and...
Marvel Knights.
Marvel Knights. So this is the Marvel Knights Spider-Man.
Ultimate Marvel Knights.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It looks like Jim Chung's art, maybe.
Well, but I mean, I think what they're doing here is because especially when you get into the not Kitty Pryde who wants to marry Spider-Man, but when you get into Johnny Storm telling his version of it, that's uh-huh. Ultimate Spider-Man from the TV series. All those characters that you see in that page, that's Ultimate Spider-Man from the TV series. So this is Spider-Man in the various universe, and so I think that the one that Gwen Stacy's talking about would be the Ultimate Knights Spider-Man or Marvel Knights Spider-Man.
Could be. And I mean, these are all speculative things.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think they're referencing other Spider-Man universes and events.
They work and don't work in equal measure for me because they're neat, but it's literally 12 pages mm-hmm. of a 27-page comic book that's basically dedicated to these little
what
bits
ifs.
And pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like, I don't know. I like what happens in this issue, but there isn't really much that happens in the issue.
No. And that's, you know, part of me wonders if, and again, Brian Michael Bendis has been given a great gift in being able to pin a lot of things in the Marvel universe and to create and run the Marvel universe, the Ultimate Universe, at least. I'm wondering if this isn't his way of saying, hey, you guys, if Peter Parker had been alive, look at all these what ifs. These are the what ifs
yeah,
that could have happened. That could have happened if Peter were still alive. So they take a bunch of this extra food. Tony Stark didn't come to the party, but he did. He did send over, you know, Sobolsky's food. They decide to take it all down to the mission, all this leftover stuff down to the mission. They do good work. They're all saying their goodbyes. And then some mysterious person in the bushes.
Who could it be?
Could it be this Liam? Is it Liam?
I don't think it is.
It could be Liam, or maybe it's dun dun dun.
The clone.
Maybe it is Peter Parker himself.
It's a clone. It's Ben Reilly.
Could be. I mean, we never did really. We kind of had that whole clone saga thing go on in the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, we had a clone saga. Yeah. I think it's Ben Reilly. But if you look at the title page,
mm-hmm.
under J. Jonah Jameson, you see the redacted thing, and it says the blank. And I'm like, the clone! I don't know. I don't really...
Well, here's
always
the problem.
Sounds terrible when you say it. I don't really care
Well, I know
who, you, the, who the secret guy is.
No, I mean... I guess. Unless it's Peter Parker, the real Spider-Man,
even,
I don't think anybody
even
cares.
Then, I don't care.
I don't think. Well, and here's the thing. Like I said, Bendis had to put up with what was left over after Ultimatum. And I think he did a fine job of rebuilding the universe and creating a new character in Miles Morales who, you know, we all know that the Ultimate Comics was created to retell classic Marvel tales in a new way, in a different way, so that new audiences could get on board. Or, yeah, I mean, not verbatim, because the Clone Saga stuff that they did with Gwen and Jessica was really pretty cool. That was a cool, neat thing. And wasn't anything like the stuff that we put up with in regular Marvel Universe. But here's the problem. I agree with you that I don't really care at the end of this issue, because I'm jumping into this thinking that this is a good ending chapter. This is a good way to bookend everything that's gone on in the Ultimate Comics so that we can get ready sometime this month. I thought it would have been today, but it's apparently at the end of the month. Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man, number one.
The Ultimate Spider-Man.
The Ultimate Spider-Man. But here's the problem. We end on this thing with this hug, and everybody's hugging and saying goodbye, and that's a nice little goodbye. But then we're left with this big cliffhanger of, who's this body? And then, to be continued in Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man number one. And I was like, oh, yeah. Man, what a letdown.
Yeah, I felt like that was kind of a cheat.
Here's the thing. Miles gets his moment to say, you know, if Peter Parker were still around, I wonder what would happen. I wonder if we'd be good friends. I wonder if we'd be a sidekick. He gets his little closure moment. But I think there is one final closure moment in this book that doesn't happen. If there was that final closure moment, even if it was just the hugs or, you know, I understand putting this mystery hook in there because you want people to go and read Ultimate Spider-Man number one to find out what this is all about.
Right.
But honestly, if they had closed with panel three of that final page of just Aunt May locking the door, and then the final panel had been the wide shot of the home that said the home of Peter Parker for sale, that would have been it. That would have been a perfect ending to this book.
Right. Marvel doesn't do endings. Marvel does transitions into the next big thing.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is a frustrating expectation, but that didn't bother me necessarily, you know, knowing that this is leading into next issue's awesome number one.
Right.
So much as we have these characters getting together to talk about Peter Parker. And what
and
it ends up being
about
is
Peter
talking
Parker.
They talk about what they thought Peter Parker could have been. And, you know, tonally it feels, I don't know, it feels a little off for me. Because we're talking about we're not here to talk about how much we miss Peter, which I'm good with. We're here to celebrate Peter's life and what he meant to us. And apparently what he meant to us is a whole bunch of what if realities, which kind of bothered me.
And, you know, to be honest, because I haven't been reading The Ultimate Spider-Man either for a long time, I don't know if we've been checking in with Firestar and Iceman. I don't know what's been going on with Gwen Stacy or Aunt May or Kitty. Well, I guess Kitty Pryde punched Galactus in the face.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde has been in Ultimate, maybe X-Men?
Probably.
But she's in one of the Ultimate books, and she's like really, really powerful. She's the leader of the mutant rebellion army or something.
Well, we haven't seen, you know, I'm guessing we haven't seen what's been going on with Jessica. So this is kind of that way of here are all the people that you remember from all the 133 previous issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. And now they're getting together one last time.
Off by the blob.
Yeah. This is the part where they get their nod at the camera and say goodnight. And that's it. Now, will we see these characters again? Probably. But I can understand why this was set up this way. But ultimately, this book was just okay for me. I like the art. I thought the art was fine, but it's just okay story.
The art was kind of all over the place, which, I mean, it's a jam issue. It's not like anything was unpleasant. I love the panel where where Mary Jane is standing there and she's got like the leaves and the wind in her hair. And I'm just like, oh, that's
that was
gorgeous.
Really good.
And then. Yeah. We cut to the next page, and the next page seems to be drawn by a different artist, which all in all, I think that there was this was a book trying kind of to serve two masters. I mean, as a commemoration of the previous 199 issues, it almost worked. And as a here's a hook to a whole new world, it almost worked. But I don't know that it really nailed either of those. And it just kind of felt very meh for me right in the middle. Just kind of an okay. I liked bits of it. I really liked the moment where Kitty and Kong had their little second moment. I wonder what that's about, but I know that I'll never find out. That's the thing. I will never find out. And they keep teasing whether or not the Ultimate Universe has run its course and it's done. Four or five times in the past 10 years, we've had this world-shattering catastrophe and the world, you know, the Ultimate Universe is done. And everybody says, oh, my God, they're going to cancel these books. And they don't. But it really feels like they want to play into the whole, well, we could.
Well, since this is the Ultimate Universe, instead of killing off a character every quarter, let's try to kill off the Ultimate Universe every quarter. Let's kill off the entire universe. And then, of course, it doesn't. But yeah, I mean, Ultimatum, I really thought that that was going to be a the big deal. And then when Galactus appeared again, I was like, well, that's it. And I would have been okay if they would have done that. I would have been okay if they would have just brought Miles Morales over to 616, or maybe some of these other interesting characters over to 616. Would have been fine with me.
Maybe. I will say that as an Ultimate comic story goes, it was less obnoxious than some of the ones I've had before. You know, there have been definitely Ultimate comic stories that I've liked less than this one, but even this one just kind of feels a little bit, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, maybe
schmaltzy,
uneventful,
schmaltzy.
Maybe.
I think uneventful is true. But what's your bottom assessment of this? Overall, I'm just meh, you know, it was okay. And if you're an Ultimate Spider-Man fan, if you're wanting to find out, you know, you're not going to find out what's going on between Jessica and Lana, although interesting things could be going on.
I would say it's definitely, to me, skippable.
If you are an Ultimate Comics, Ultimate Spider-Man fan, I say pick it up just for the six panels of J. Jonah Jameson having regrets. Just for those six panels. Pick that up.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it's okay. I like the art. I mean, all the different artists in here, everybody who has worked on the Ultimate Spider-Man title gets their shot at doing something in this book. And I think that's pretty cool. So, you know, do with that as you will.
All right.
I'm trying to call up something. I'm trying to type as I talk.
That happens.
Let us look at the week ahead.
The week ahead.
So Dark Horse Comics next week, Creepy Comics number 16, Game of Thrones map and marker set. $200 for that. I don't know what that is, but a map and marker set for $200. Megatokyo Omnibus trade paperback. That could be interesting. Is Megatokyo even going on anymore? Or did that end or what was going on? I used to read that all the time as a webcomic. Loved it. And then, I don't know, seven years ago, I drifted away from it.
All I know about Megatokyo are jokes in other.
Yeah. It was that popular. I mean, maybe it's still going on. Let me look here. Megatokyo.
That's not like Axis Powers Italia, is it?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. What is this?
Because that one scares me.
Well, of course, it didn't have a date on this. Damn it. It just says 1390. So who knows? Who knows what's going on with that? But that might be something we may want to look at some point in the future. Not on this show, but maybe on Major Spoilers Podcast. Batgirl number 30 comes out from DC Comics. Coffin Hill number 7. What did one gravestone say to the other gravestone, Matthew? Is that you, Coffin?
It said, stop it.
Justice League 3000 number 5. Royals Masters of War number 3, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You number 44. Man, it is a short week for DC Comics next week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 books out next week from DC Comics. that are not trade paperbacks, but just original stuffs. Small week for them. It's not, I don't know why next week would be a short week for them. It's not a skip week. It's not a fifth week.
It's the 9th of April.
I mean, it's tax time. But that shouldn't, if anything, they should be putting out more books. Is the DC Universe coming to an end? Did final Ultimate Evil or whatever it's called kill everybody? Oh, no, I know what comes out next week. Batman Eternal number 1 that everybody's all excited about. The new weekly series from DC Comics. Yeah, that's probably it. They want to focus all their attention on Batman Eternal because would next week be the 75th anniversary
of
the first appearance of Batman? I know this year is the 75th anniversary, but I thought it was like April.
1939. It could be.
Maybe that's what it is. Focus all their attention on that. IDW Publishing has Dead World Restoration number 5, G.I. Joe America's Elite Disavowed Trade Paperback, and Special Missions number 14. Did you read that 200 issue of G.I. Joe?
No, not yet.
Judge Dredd number 18, Max Maximized number 6. My Little Pony and Friends number 4, Powerpuff Girls number 8, Rocky and Bullwinkle number 2, and Samurai Jack number 7. That's a really good interview we had last week with Ted Adams. I think it's Ted Adams. Yeah, the CEO, publisher of IDW Publishing. And he really kind of talks about some of their more popular titles right now and licensed titles. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is certainly one of their top sellers right now. It's an interesting interview. Go back and listen to it. It was 2 episodes ago on the Major Spoilers podcast, depending on when you're listening to it. 566, I believe, is the issue. Image Comics has East of West number 11, Invincible number 110, Peter Panzerfaust number 18, Shotgun Wedding number 2, Shudder number 1. I don't know what that's about. It's got 4 different covers coming out. It's a 350 book. Look that up, Matthew.
Do we want to review some of those covers?
Go see what Shudder number 1 is about.
Shudder or Shutter?
Shutter number 1.
Image Shutter Comics. Number 1. Do. Here's the story.
It says right here. Oh, that's
Marvel Knights. No, that's not it.
No, it's, yeah, that's the
Joe
one.
Joe Keating.
That's the one.
Art by Leila DeLuca. Kate Christopher, once the most famous explorer on Earth.
Okay, I've seen this one before. Okay, go ahead.
Is forced to return. Oh, sounds like Tomb Raider. Do we wanna?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like She's forced to return, most famous explorer on Earth, an Earth that's far more fantastical than the one we know, one with filled with demons and gorgons and phantom ninjas, is forced to return to the adventure she left behind when a family secret threatens to destroy everything she spent her life protecting. I say yes.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Ninja.
Shutter number 1. Marvel Comics has I know you're going to review this one, Matthew. All new dupe number 1, Animan.
All new dupe number 1 Anima?
Animan. A-N-M-N.
Oh, that's pronounced Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. Okay. So there's new Ghost Rider number 2 Ant-Man next week. All new Ultimates number 1. Amazing Spider-Man number 1 75th anniversary. Oh, so Amazing Spider-Man number 1 comes out to compete with Batman Eternal. Ooh.
Oh.
That'll be interesting.
75th anniversary. Of Spider-Man?
That's what it says. Amazing Spider-Man number 1, 75th anniversary by Ross Poster. I know.
No.
That's what it says.
It's got to be the 75th anniversary of Marvel Comics.
Maybe that's what it is.
That is the only possible explanation.
That
and
would
even
probably
that is
be
a
right.
stretch.
That'd be a stretch, because what were they before? Kellogg Printing Company?
They were initially Marvel Comics in 1939 when they produced Marvel Mystery number 1. But for a while they were Marvel, then they were Atlas. For a while they were Red Circle. Or not Red Circle. Yeah, Red Circle. The thing about it is Martin Goodman changed the company's name a lot so people didn't know what they went.
Yep, exactly. Daredevil number 1.5 out next week. Iron Fist Living Weapon number 1, Animanimin. Ooh, I wonder. Man, we should do a double header next week of Shutter number 1 and Iron Fist Living Weapon number 1, Animanin.
Well,
unless you want to write a review
of that. You have
that
one reviewer who grabs all the books that you want to review.
I say we put down Iron Fist Living Weapon number one.
You know how we have that one reviewer at Major Spoilers who grabs all the reviews you want to do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Has he already grabbed Iron Fist?
Yeah, he totally did.
Oh, yeah. Chris, you. He made a joke last week. Last week he made a joke and put down whatever Steven wants to review. That's what I'm going to review.
Yeah, he got you, man.
Iron Fist Living Weapon number one. I'm going to pick that book up. That looks good.
It looks interesting.
Nightcrawler number one comes out.
Nightcrawler.
Yep. You know, you put an iron bolt, you put an iron rod into the ground in the springtime when the ground's wet and you hit it with a hammer. Nightcrawlers will come up from the ground.
Why?
Something about the vibrations freak them out and it kind of forces them up to the surface.
Oh,
that's how you hunt night crawlers.
But I don't.
Well, if you were a fishing type person, you might want to hunt some night crawlers.
No, I'm not fishing. I'm powered by fusion, my friend.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 11, Secret Avengers number 2, Eminem. And what if Age of Ultron number 2 comes out next week?
What if Age of Ultron was any good? Oh, snap. Okay.
Did you read the first issue?
Of Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
I read all 10 issues.
The What If Age of Ultron.
I'll probably review it when it comes off the wall this week.
Oh, okay. Afterlife with Archie number 4 gets a second printing next week.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Archie Comics Super Special number 5. Bloodshot and Hardcore number 21. Caliban number 1.
Kalima.
Ooh, I wonder who puts this book out. Cosplayers number 1, $4.99. That could be interesting. Yeah, Cosplayers number 1.
Shall we see?
Look it up.
Cosplayers number 1.
Flash Gordon number 1, 80th anniversary. That's all got to be out by Dynamite Entertainment. Oh, man, I tried to get my oldest to sit down and watch Flash Gordon the other day. He lost interest like 10 minutes into this movie. That guy's acting weird, Dad. Why does he want to put him in the rocket ship, Dad? This is dumb, Dad. And he went off and played with Legos. And I said, you're missing the most important part where the Flying Hawk guy shows up. What's his name? Blessed. Brian Blessed shows up.
Gordon starts talking. Dive, my Hawkman! Dive!
Oh, that's like the best part of Flash Gordon.
And then the music goes, dun, 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 dun.
What's the best part of Flash Gordon? I don't even know. What is the best part of that movie? Is it the music? Because Queen's music is pretty awesome in that movie.
Part of it is the music.
Is it Max von Sydow as Ming the Merciless? Brian Blessed as what's his name? Hawk guy?
Yes, Hawkman.
Hawkman.
He's the king of the Hawkman. I can't remember his name. Timothy Dalton is in that as Baron of the Tree Men.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm Prince Baron of the Tree Men. The best part of it is that they embraced their cheesy camp elements in a way that wasn't like super post-ironic.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to make a big, fun science fiction goofy movie, and there's going to be moments where you might cringe, but we're going to sell it to you with the force of personality and a big white dye job.
Yeah, I guess.
Flash, I love you, but we only have 24 hours to save the Earth. Dun, 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 dun.
Speaking of Flash Gordon and saving the Earth, King's Watch number 5 comes out next week.
I read issue 3 of that and was kind of intrigued.
Lola XOXO, or Hugs and Kisses number 1, comes out from Aspen. That's one of their brand new books.
Zoxo.
Lumberjanes number 1, which looks interesting. That comes out from Boom Studios. I'm kind of interested in that. Lumberjanes number 1. It looks good. The art looks good. You can find sneak peeks over at Major Spoilers. That's majorspoilers.com. Or if you want to be more precise, http://www.majorspoilers.com.
.com.
You don't have to put the /at the end.
www.w.
Minecraft official Mojang Redstone Handbook. I better make sure my son doesn't know what that is.
Those words.
Does your kid play the Minecraft?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keep that away from her.
Why?
Is she addicted to it? My son built a giant, like, 700-story tall Olaf snowman in Minecraft the other day.
Really?
Yes, and it looked pretty cool. I don't know if he watched a YouTube video where somebody else built it and kind of showed how he did it, but he did a pretty good job, especially with the head, the shape of the head and the carrot nose. He did a pretty good job with that, but it was like 700 stories tall. You're up at the tip of the nose, and you can't even see the ground.
Wow.
But he spent afternoon building that. I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, there's a thing called Lego. You could go do the same thing with your Lego. And your little brother could be a creeper and haunt you and try to hit you from the back of the head.
Creeper.
Rogues number one, Cold Ship. That's a mature reader's book. Sons of Anarchy number 8. That comes out from Boom Studios. Yes, I'm pretty sure it's Boom Studios. Yep. The Lone Ranger number 23 finally comes out from Dynamite Entertainment, as does Twilight Zone number 4.
Cool.
And What Did You Eat Yesterday? Graphic novel volume 1. And you might think that that's a kid's book, but it is a mature reader tag. What Did You Eat Yesterday? Graphic novel volume 1. God, who is putting that book out and what is it about? Because now I must know.
Now you want to know.
Now I want to know. This is a Random House from award-winning author Fumi Yoshinaga. Romance between two 40-year-old men and the many meals they share together. So there you go.
Aww.
There you go. Yep. And so that's kind of neat from the title. What Did You Eat Yesterday? So it looks like we're hitting up Shutter number 1 next week. The cover looks pretty cool.
Shutter.
Yes, Shutter. Anything else? Shutter. Anything else we need to know or do? How can people find you, Matthew?
Well, I wish you wouldn't. Actually, it freaks out the boss, so feel free. You can follow me on the Twitter. At mightykingcobra.com. That's spelled mighty.
You don't have to put the .com in there.
Like the kids' meal. King, like the feature syndicate. And Cobra, like the terrible Sylvester Stallone movie.
Hey, I got a question. Did you ever think about the Mighty King Cole, or Old King Cole, that nursery rhyme? Maybe we talked about this before. Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddler's three. Was Old King Cole a dope smoker? Did he love marijuana and just like to get a big old pipe and a bowl and smoke it and listen to some music?
As George Carlin would tell you, he called for his pipe, he called for his bowl. I guess we all know about Old King Cole.
Yeah, okay. So, that's George Carlin had brought that up before.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Also, pipes and bowls don't necessarily mean the same thing. Actually, they probably did.
I bet they did.
It was the day when those things happened.
Here, I bet if we look it up on the Wikipedia, because Old King Cole was a doper.
What?
Old King Cole. Well, I'm trying to see if they talk about interpretations. It doesn't say popular music magazine, doesn't have anything Old King Cole controversy. Nope, doesn't say anything about dope or drugs.
Well, it's hard to say.
You ever think about that stuff, Matthew? You ever think about nursery rhymes? Why not? I mean, why do you have a... Well, I guess I do a lot of nursery rhymes because I have a kid that now finally wants to sing. And he wants to sing Itsy Bitsy Spider, and he wants to sing ABCs, and he wants to sing Twinkle Twinkle.
1, 2, 3s. Mine is 10, so she wants to be 14.
Do the nursery rhymes anymore? Oh.
No, she wants to be a teenager.
So is her next birthday party is going to be a makeup party?
The last birthday party was actually a glow-in-the-dark golf party, but all the 10-year-olds were like too cool to sing, so I made them. You're never too cool to sing.
No, that's what I was trying to tell the youngest. You got to sing. And he's like, no. And then finally, after he watched Frozen, suddenly he wants to sing all the time.
Yep.
And I'm fine
let
with that.
Let it go.
We let it go. We're also trying to pie to trade him, so let it go may have a double meaning for him.
Oh. And we're done.
We're done. See everyone we're next done. Week.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.